Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio. My name is Brooke Taylor. This is episode 105. Thank you for being a part of the program. So much going on, especially in this show. And we're not mincing any words. We're going to bring a topic out of the dark into the light. I'll explain more about that coming up. If you caught episode 104, you heard my friend Linda Isaiah and I sit down and have a really candid conversation about body image. But we also had a lot of fun. So we're actually going to take the show on the road. We had such a good time. I kind of alluded to it at the end of that show, and it's happening. So at the end of this program, I will give you the entire full formal invitation. In addition, we have a big announcement about the Arise retreat coming up. A big thank you to one of our listeners for starting a Bible study of women across the country that has officially kicked off, and so grateful for Lisa's yes. So I'll explain about that as well. But this show today, the big topic of conversation, I think needs a little preface before we dive in, because in all ways, in this show, we try to focus on the good things. That is the heart, the title, the spirit of this program, focusing on the light. But every now and then, we have to call out the dragons that are in the dark, the things that try to hide in the midst that are evil and that are hiding right in front of our eyes, and bring them out into the light of day and deal with them. So that's what we are going to do on today's show. There's a new documentary. It's about something targeting our children, our families. It's a gateway, believe it or not, that is most often in our own homes. And it's this insidious epidemic of pornography. But for my demographic, listeners who always tune into this program, who are always downloading new episodes of Good Things Radio, I imagine pretty clearly I'm speaking to the choir, and you're nodding and you agree on that one. But there's a large contingency of people that I'll say is the 50 Shades of Grey crowd that would call me a prude and say, look, pornography is fine, and unless you have a problem, it's not even worth talking about. You're an alarmist. But it is so much more than that. So I encourage you to listen and listen well. This is something that, especially if you are a parent, you cannot turn a blind eye to. And time is of the essence. To almost label pornography like a public health hazard, like drugs, like cocaine, because that's what it is, to get the awareness out there and what it does to the brain. And there's so many angles that we can go into this. If you are not familiar with theology of the body, and I'm talking back originally into the sessions, the writings of now Saint Pope John Paul II, his amazing insight into the dignity of the human person and the harm that pornography perpetuates, to Christopher West, he has something called the Theology of the Body Institute. In ministry and in the church, this is becoming something brought to the light more and more. And so that's where we're going to kind of start with our guest today. So around 4 or 5 years ago, I had the chance to meet filmmaker, writer, director, producer, Justin Hunt. He was traveling the country in support of his documentary at that time called Absent, which if you haven't seen, I highly recommend. By the way, it was something really well responded to by our listeners. It's about fatherlessness, the impact of that in our homes without dads. Well, Justin is back with a brand new documentary. It's a project that I don't think could be more needed. I can't stress that enough. The film is called Addicted to Porn, Chasing the Cardboard Butterfly, and we are honored to be joined by Justin this morning. Hi, Justin. Thank you for being a part of the show.
Thanks. I appreciate that. What a nice introduction.
Well, it's true, nice. And you're kind of squeezing us in before you fly to L.A. You've got a premiere there today?
Well, I'm actually going out to begin outlining the next film.
So wow,
I'm going
okay.
out to be with my management and discuss that. So, but right now we're dialed in on this one. So,
well, this documentary, I want to start with the title, because obviously the first part is self-explanatory, but the subtitle, Cardboard Butterfly, what is that?
So in 1973, there was a scientist named Tim Bergen who did a study on what he called supranormal stimulus. And he found a species of butterfly where the males would choose the females based on the size and color of their wings. So he created these cardboard butterflies with bigger and brighter wings. And the males would actually spend their entire lifespan trying to mate with the cardboard butterflies and completely ignoring the females. And so I think it's just, it's a strong analogy of what we're dealing with today with people wanting to choose synthetic relationships over authentic relationships. And, you know, truth be told, I mean, in the long run, that could have some pretty devastating effects.
And I know you've seen that firsthand in your research. And I want to first thank you for tackling this topic, because I don't know anyone, honestly, outside of the church. This is a documentary that really is, it may be secular, it's for everybody. I know that you talk about the church and that's part of the fold, but doing what you're doing in such an honest and in-depth way. So I wanted to thank you and also ask, why did you decide this particular topic?
Well, a couple of reasons. One was a friend of mine who was getting divorced. We went to school together, and I hadn't seen her in 15, 16 years. And when she explained to me that she was getting divorced because of her husband's addiction to pornography, number one, I was pretty taken aback by that. But number two, I was more taken aback by how much I was taken aback by that. It surprised me how surprising that was. And so as I started looking into it a little bit more, it fascinated me that this was kind of going unchecked and, you know, flying under the radar, and that people weren't discussing it, because you could see what was coming, or I could see what was coming. Much like, you know, when we did American Meth, people weren't really talking about meth. And when we did the Absent film, Fatherhood, you know, it was such an apparent issue, but nobody was acknowledging it. So kind of the same thing here. And then the other part of that is that, you know, what separates this film from so many other films is that, that deal with the topic of pornography, is that this film is done without a single provocative image in the entire film.
Mm, that's important, yeah.
And it is, because I think, you know, until you learn what it's like, until you meet people who are struggling with this, you can't fully comprehend how difficult it is for them. And even Christian filmmakers were being fairly irresponsible with doing these films, and then filling it full of triggers for people who struggle with porn addiction. That's like me saying, you know, hey, Brooke, I think you might have a drinking problem. Let's go have a beer and talk about it.
Right. Yeah, that's a great point.
Absolutely no sense. And it's, you know, and I'm not calling anybody out, but it is a bit, it's either immature or irresponsible in your craft to not recognize that.
Yeah, and you're really elevating the idea of, I know that this will catch the people's attention that need to see it, but at what expense? So I love that you did that, and you were sensitive, and you're so good at filmmaking that you don't need to do that. And I want to know a little bit about your journey. Take us into that. This isn't just a domestic film. I mean, this is a global scale that you tackled this issue. So how was that for you? I mean, the eye-opening, did it change you? Did it shock you? Or was it what you expected?
You know what was interesting about that? Because, you know, we have interviews from Paris and Berlin and Sydney, Helsinki, Glasgow, and some other place. I can't even remember off the top of my head. But what was surprising to me is that obviously different cultures, all those cultures look at sexuality differently, right?
Right.
But the common denominator was the pain caused by betrayal or by the addiction to porn. So on a human level, it affects everybody the same. Now, they might look at sexuality different, but what the hurt that it causes people is the same across the board. And I think that just points out the universal nature of the issue. It points out the fact that this is a pandemic. It's not just some joke that, it's always interesting to me. The first thing people do when they hear about this film is they try to crack a joke, because that's the safest defense mechanism.
Right.
Is let's make fun of it. Mm-hmm. But it just goes to show you that this is a very real issue that's having very serious effects. And the scariest part about it, and I'm going to probably answer a question you had down the road, but the scariest thing about it that I've learned in making it is what it's doing to our youth. And the analogy that I'm using is it's getting deeper and deeper into the root. And what I mean by that is you know, younger and younger and younger, these kids are looking at porn. You know, my daughter was, it's summertime, but last school year, she was in eighth grade. Sixth graders were sending nude photos and videos to each other. And this is in Colorado Springs. I mean, this is, you know.
I know. This is, as you're
the
saying,
hub of Christianity. So
it is. And in the beginning of the show, I cite some stats that I pulled from your documentary. One of them was that the average age a child will be exposed to an image is 10.
And well, no. That's the thing. That's not even exposed to an image. That's when they actively start looking.
Oh, my.
They're being exposed at
even
a much
earlier wow.
age. But actively searching is 10 and dropping.
I was sick to my stomach when I was doing this prep because I was seeing, this isn't a topic that I, you know, I would be guilty probably if something's not there, you don't have to deal with it. And I have four boys. I have four boys, you know, my husband as well. And we talk about the dignity of each human person. We talk about modesty, you know, all these things. But still, there's a science, as you know, behind pornography and the algorithms and how they are able to sneak in. It doesn't matter if you are at a church camp or if you're on the school bus. These kids are seeing these images. And it's not just a basic, you know, bare busted woman. I mean, these are internet images that are so provocative and scary that, you know, I can't even probably comprehend. And I think what's scary to me, and I wanted to ask you about this connection, is the sexual crimes to porn. And I know some people who are listening to this are going to think, how in the world can you make that leap from just casually looking at something to actually having it be destructive or even criminal? Yeah. But I have to say, in covering news, and I covered part of the Ariel Castro case, these women in Cleveland who were abducted and held for 10 years. And he ended up taking his own life in prison. But before he did so, he wrote a letter saying he believed he had become a devil because of pornography, that was for him. You look at Ted Bundy, he grew up in a Christian home and wanted to make that known before he was executed, that it was pornography that tripped a trigger. And all of these different stories from Elizabeth Smart, she talked about that this captor she had, his wife wasn't enough for him. And it was because of pornography that he had to go out and actually take it one step further. It wasn't enough. So as you go in and talk about the title of your film, and as you mentioned, these synthetic relationships that end up just like a drug, making you crave more, this gateway. I mean, how scary is that? That leap from a casual look to people actually acting on that. How often does that happen? And what did you find in your research?
When you watch the film, you see we have a pretty significant segment on what it does to the brain and, you know, the fact that it drastically changes neurological pathways in the brain and that parts of your brain can atrophy and swell with usage. And so you see that part of the brain being utilized more, and it causes a deeper and deeper addiction. What scares me the most about it, and you know, you're absolutely right, people can make that jump, which is absolutely frightening, but what scares me the most about it is how it's become the norm. And here's what I mean. You know, like, there was a time when seeing, like, a guy without a shirt on a television show was kind of a big deal. Mm-hmm. And then when I was, like, in high school, that redhead guy on NYPD Blue showed his butt, and that was like a huge deal, you know.
Yes.
And then there's this slow drift, you know, a little bit more, a little bit more, a little bit more, and then all of a sudden you watch Game of Thrones, and you're like, oh my, wow, this is like softcore porn, and it's just accepted now. And so what scares me the most is how that's become the norm. And I'll give you two quick examples. One is my distributor, when I told him, you know, my principles on this issue and that, you know, we don't have any provocative imagery, nothing like that. And the film actually had a different title. He told me, change the name of the film and put a salacious image on the front and I'll make you 10 times more money.
Mm.
So that's what's expected. That's what sells. And then furthermore, and especially talking about our youth and how normal this has become to kids, the latest issue of Teen Vogue has an article about all you need to know about anal sex.
Oh my. Wow. You see, this is the problem, Justin.
This is Teen Vogue. And so, okay, so you look at an editor. Why would an editor run something like that? Because they recognize this is what's going on. So let's tackle it. And that's, we're not, I mean, we're not talking about some, you know, local publication. It's Teen Vogue.
And this
that
is,
shows you how far we've gotten.
It's like we've slipped into a wormhole. I mean, it's so bizarre. And so, what kind of world are we living in? And it happened so quickly. I know technology plays a part, but the way that it's presented, it's not even a debate anymore. It's not even if, is this right or wrong? Is this hush hush? It's just out there in neon lights, like an objective, accepted thing. There's no taboo anymore.
We talk about that in the film quite extensively. It's what I call the porn progression. And it's funny that you mentioned the Whirlpool thing, because we start with explaining and showing how technology is making access to porn so much easier at such an earlier age. So you've got kids seeing these images and these things way, 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 way too early, when their little brains aren't ready for that. But then what that does is that really changes the landscape for them, and they've got these misconceptions about sex and intimacy and relationships. And then they get into school and there's no public education.
Right.
And so instead of educating them on porn, which I know that sounds ridiculous, but that's necessary now.
Well, I feel like it needs to be, and we in the beginning talked about this, a health issue, like drugs or anything else, because it is a drug.
Well, that's what our curriculum does. The curriculum I wrote is called Technology and Pornography in Modern Culture. It's not a sex ed course. It's a 21st century course. It's technology and pornography. But anyhow, instead of there being education on porn, porn is serving as the educator. And then they go into relationships, you know, they go to college, and that's just like porn on speed. I mean, it's crazy what's going on at the college age.
Yeah.
And then they get into relationships, and amazingly enough, these relationships don't work out. Well, why is that? Because we have absolutely unrealistic expectations. But we also talk about, you know, it's not just porn. It's every kind of media that you can think of. We're just inundated every day, and then we get sucked into this whirlpool of sexuality and pornography, and you can't get out of it.
John Paul II, you know, he talked about pornography. He said it's not that it shows too much, it shows too little. And I so believe that we're getting such a false lie. And we know that, again, I mean, with my demographic listening, most likely this is a speaking to the choir moment, but how can we change the paradigm? I was listening, this was years ago, and I never forgot it because it was one of those things that haunted me. And I thought I should have reached out. I should have written an email. I was flipping through the radio, and one of the women on there was saying, we need to be educating our girls in how to perform sex acts. And that's how we have to raise our girls. It's not talked about. And I mean, I was so disgusted. I thought, this is a predator that's on the radio right now. And I just changed the channel and became nauseous, but I didn't reach out. So I think part of it is all of us. You see an article in Teen Vogue, we need to write the editor, right? I mean, where do we make the change in, I want to say stigmatizing, because it needs a stigma with it. I mean, we have mercy and forgiveness, and we want to work through things. We have compassion as people, but we also need to call it out for what it is. And so where does that begin?
Well, to be frank with you, that's what I spent 4 years doing with this movie. Is saying, look, I'm not here to demonize anybody or persecute anybody, but you all need to stop pretending that this doesn't exist, because it does exist, and it's doing some severe damage. That's the step that I took to try to do that, was to create this film and get some dialogue going. But, you know, as far as just someone listening right now on the radio, the first thing that you need to do is just stop pretending it doesn't exist. Stop saying, not my kid, not my spouse, not me. Because
and where's the line? Sorry to interrupt, but you've got, I mean, you talked about technology and that factor. What have we done there? Because you have the line of some people say, look, it's different. If I'm going to watch Game of Thrones or read 50 Shades of Grey, it's different than getting into like some of this weird stuff. But is it really? Human trafficking is a big issue right now. When do you go? The lines become very blurred very quickly, don't they?
Look, it's almost impossible to sit there and be an absolutely perfect human being. And, you know, watching a television program where there's a sex scene does not mean that you've got some kind of problem. But I think inherently and spiritually, we know when we're crossing a line. And I think what needs to happen is, you know, as individuals, number one, acknowledge when you're crossing the line and start taking steps to not do that. If something is a trigger for you and it makes you do that, stop doing that.
Yeah.
And I, you know, it's not to say that, oh, if you're an addict, just stop being an addict. I'm not saying that. Stop putting yourselves in positions to fail.
And I think to me, that's the line right there that I want to spotlight is you said, you know, if something is inherently right or wrong, we have a conscience and we need to examine that and be honest. Because like you said, whether we are overeating or it's any sin, that's the thing too. It's like we're afraid to say the word sin anymore because we think it means judgment. But there are still objective truths and right and wrong. And if something is a sin, to try to make a reformation and a restoration for that. You had James Hetfield in your documentary for Absent about fatherlessness. Yeah. Is he in this one as well?
He narrates this film, yeah.
So the lead singer of Metallica, that's huge. I mean, you're in that demographic right there that I think so needs a megaphone to this message. Was he on board with this right away? And how did that come to be?
Yeah, we struck up a pretty good friendship through Absent. You know, he was in the film as an interviewee talking about how his father wound turned into his music. But it really affected him as a father to his kids, and we became pretty good friends through that. And so as I was continuing with this project and kind of telling him about it, he expressed interest. And then when it got time to nail down a narrator, I called him and told him about it, and he was on board. The Metallica the Metallica machine is running on all four cylinders right now. I'm not sure how aware you are, but like their album's number one, their tour is just tearing it up. I mean, it's an unbelievable show that they've got going right now. And, you know, they're playing 70, 80,000 people a night. It's hard for him to really jump on and do interviews with me and things like that, go to screenings because of the timing of all this. But he's been a huge proponent of the project from the very beginning. He didn't even hesitate to say, yeah, I'll do it. Which, you know, when you think about that, that took a lot of courage because if you watch the trailer or you go to YouTube and you read some of the comments, people are pretty brutal.
Yeah.
They're brutal towards me and they're brutal towards him. But I like that. It's like you look on IMDb, right? The film is doing, it's very popular on IMDb, but yet we have a 4.7 or 4.8 stars out of 10. And I love that because that means that we're pissing some people off because we're making them acknowledge it.
But
it's like Oscar Wilde said, you know, simply acknowledging something makes it exist.
Yeah, that's right.
We're making people mad because now they have to acknowledge that it exists.
Yeah.
And I like that.
And you know,
and it's funny too. If you look on IMDb, there is no middle ground. They're rated 1 or 10. People love it or they hate it.
Okay.
And I'm like, all right, we hit the mark.
Yeah,
good
you
job.
Did. We need to get our 10 crowd out and supporting you because it is a crusade of sorts. And you, in fact, reference as the story you profile, my knight in shining armor turned out to be a porn addict. And women need real men. I just had a group of women get together last night. We were talking about this and this interview and your new documentary. And one of my girlfriends, she said a friend of hers is in her mid-40s and is now dating again and is like a deer in the headlights because before she ever dated, years before, there wasn't texting and how quickly and how fast men are expecting things from her and how that has become a component. Pornography already, even after a few dates and or men saying, I want to play video games. And it's like, where are our men? And so I think that is such a courageous thing for you to wade into this because you know it's a spiritual, if any believers study theology, study anything in the spiritual realm, this is a spiritual warfare.
Yeah, a lot of people don't realize that on the surface. And I, you know, I'm not saying anything disrespectful to the people that have been supportive of me, but very, very few people, and I mean maybe a handful, fully understand the battle that I'm engaged in and the darkness that I've waded into. I mean, it's taken a toll. Every day there's a challenge of some kind. I mean, there's a lot of negative things going on around me, and I don't think people realize that. And, you know, that's fine. I'm not doing it.
But that's why I think we need to be vocal and we need to be louder than the culture. And we need because truth will always find a place in a heart. It will always resonate somewhere, even if people are resistant to it at first. So what you're doing, I mean, it is warfare. It is a battle. And even if it's just prayer warriors or women writing or reviewing your film, we need to get out there and make our voice heard.
And that's always going to be appreciated. It's just, you know, it's funny. I always kind of laugh because to me, it seemed like I was like, all right, we're going to go into battle. Let's go. And everybody's like, yeah, charge. And then I get to like the real battle and I
turn
around
yourself.
And like all the people on horses are gone. I'm like,
well, welcome to leadership.
I'm the only one riding in with my sword. I'm like, you know, whether it be, you know, on the financial side or any kind of support, everybody's like, oh, that's going to be a fantastic film. That's going to be, we so need this. Good luck with that.
Yeah.
I'm going to be over here. I don't want to have anything to do with it, but you go get them. And I'm like, okay.
Well, I want to change that because you do have things that we can do to help, from your Patreon program to the curriculum. And that's the takeaway here. We know it's an issue. It doesn't matter where you fall on this. It's important to watch it for if you have children, if you have grandchildren, friends, spouse, whatever. Women are affected by this as well and struggle with this too.
I want to jump in there because you just touched on something very important that I don't want to lose. And someone asked me in an interview not too long ago, you know, who's your audience for this? And my response was people with eyes, because there is not a demographic that's not touched here. One in three porn addicts now is a woman. So to think it's a male issue is far, far off. It's devastating our teens and preteens. And if you don't believe me, just look around. Look at Teen Vogue, okay? Clearly, This is emasculating the men around us. Absolutely. And, you know, it's like we say in the closing of the film, it's emasculating the men and it's destroying that beautiful essence of women.
Yes.
It's just doing so much damage. And so there is not a demographic that's not affected by this. And so we absolutely need to get the word out about it and start acknowledging it and addressing it. And the film, you know, if people are afraid of, I'm going to be judged for, you know, let's say that someone's struggling with porn. I don't want to watch that because I'm just going to be judged. No, we're just putting out some information that folks haven't put together yet. And when you look at it, you know, from a comprehensive overview, that's when you're like, wow, I didn't realize all those things kind of fed off of each other and have this long-term effect. And then, so it's not like we're like, shame on you. It's like, guys, you know, ladies, we've got to start discussing this. You don't even have to change your lifestyle if you don't want to, but for goodness sake, let's talk about it, because nobody's doing that. And it's like, it's a big, big elephant in a tiny, tiny room.
It is. And the room is in our homes. I mean, you know, the gateway is right there. So we can't be passive when we know about it. So you give us the data and you give us action steps with the curriculum. And I want to highlight that, because that was another topic of conversation. This fantastic platform, which is Covenant Eyes, because you feel like you're climbing this mountain. I mean, it's this entire sea of things coming at you as parents that you're thinking, how am I going to not have my kid be on the internet? It's Snapchat, you know, the kids, even if they don't want it, someone might be sending them an image. And so Covenant Eyes is a great way that you can help and filter, but this is the only curriculum that you've put together that's actually been sanctioned and approved by Covenant Eyes. Is that correct?
Yeah. So we have a partnership with Covenant Eyes and a resources link on our website. So you can check that out and you can register with Covenant Eyes through our website.
That's great.
And then with the curriculum, it's a curriculum for junior high and high school kids based on the film. And yeah, it's the only one that's sanctioned for kids in that demographic, I think for a lot of different reasons. But it's a very, very strong curriculum. Very proud of that thing. Very proud of the potential it has to change a lot of lives and a lot of understanding. Because it's not just about porn. It's about technology and the danger of false anonymity. You know, just because you're doing something on a phone doesn't mean it's happening in a different world than the real one. It's a real thing. And so we try to teach them about, you know, understanding the power of technology and what you can do, good and bad. And then we get into the pornography side of helping them understand what intimacy is and you know, seeing the devastating effects of that, and then helping them understand that, look, I know this all seems fake because it's on your phone, but you can damage yourself and your future relationships. And so it's not a sex ed course.
Who's curriculum age-wise is this for, though?
11 to 18.
Okay.
And, you know, with the slightest modifications, even college students.
Okay. And I know you can, there's so much, because I want to jump on the action steps here, that you can get the curriculum for small groups, just for your family. You can also set up a screening if you have connections. And I think that's really important to do it all at once, set up a screening and then give people the information. How can someone do that?
Well, it's actually really simple. We've got two options for you. You can do a screening with me there, or you can do a screening without me. And if you want to do it without me, we have a flat fee. you pay the rights to screen the film. You can show it in your living room for all we care. We just want to help you get it out there. Or if you want me to come to your screening and speak to, you know, your audience and any supplemental groups around that, I'm happy to do that as well. So, and we have it's right on the homepage of the website. People can send in if they have questions about hosting a screening.
That's great. And and what is the website before we move further?
Sure. It's ATP as in addicted to porn, ATP doc as in documentary.
Okay.
.com. ATPDOC.com.
Okay. And you mentioned earlier this position you've been in of spearheading this, spending years on this, traveling the globe to bring this story to the world. You've been rated number one, I think you said, on with Australian documentaries because this was that right, on IMDb?
Yeah, it's IMDb. It's the most popular documentaries of all time with an Australian origin, I think was the name of the list. And yeah, we're number one.
So you've done your part to bring this to the world, but you really need help in order to keep doing what you're doing and to continue to promote this particular film. So how can we help?
Well, I'm glad you asked me that. We set up a Patreon page, which I just stumbled onto Patreon. I love the platform of what they're doing. It really brings back the old school way of people supporting the arts. And you know, the hard part for me, Brooke, I'm not a salesman. I don't enjoy being a salesman. The hard part
You're
for
an
me
artist.
Is helping, yeah, is helping people understand. So what you do on Patreon is you pledge to an artist and then you get something in return. Hard part for me is I want people to understand I'm not trying to sell you something. You're supporting what I'm doing, and then I'm trying to give you some really fun stuff in return.
Yeah.
And so you can go to the Patreon page and you can pledge. And we have one pledge. It's $5 a month. You can do more than that if you want, but $5 a month. And then what we do is, I mean, that's where all the information of past, present, and future projects is going to be. We do a monthly recap video to show all the places we've gone and what we've worked on the past month. We you know, show one thing a month, like we call it the Hunt Family Vault, but, you know, something fun that we've picked up over the past 25 years. Like I have a football from Uncle Rico on Napoleon Dynamite, and there's a story behind this football.
Oh, that's
and so
great.
Once a month, you get a story behind something that we have that's really cool. You know, little random videos. When I travel or like this week, we're going to be going to L.A. and starting to outline this new film. We're going to take some notes of that and some video of that. And any kind of, you know, if you want to be a part of that creative process, you can.
Okay.
If you want to see what we're up to, you can. If you want to learn how to make a documentary from start to finish, now's the time to jump on and watch it go from, like right now we have absolutely no outline. So from right now to when it's on Netflix in 3 years or 2 years, you can be a part of that
whole
thing.
Wow, that's really neat. Okay,
that's
good.
And we're even giving away free movies, like the next – I think we did the next 50 people that pledge. We're going to send you any of my movies that you want. You get a free movie.
How many have you done so far? I know of three. Are there more?
How many what? Screenings?
Movies have you done so far?
Five.
Okay, I know three. You've got Absent. You've got American Meth, right?
Yeah, so I did American Meth, and then I did Absent, and then I did The Speed of Orange, which was a sports documentary.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And then I did a narrative film, a fictional film called Far Too Far. And then I did this one, Addicted
okay.
to Porn.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
So any of those. That's all fantastic. And I just want to thank you for stepping up, doing what you're doing, and bringing this to the people. Because it's what's interesting. You know, a lot of these women are moms in their homes, but they are powerful forces. And that's the beauty of our culture, too, is it's the women, it's the youth themselves who are being targeted that can have a voice and make a difference and reverse this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, it's just we have to do something. I mean, that's the way I look at it is, you know, this is not an easy task and it's an uphill climb. And I mean, frankly, my shoulders are tired from swimming upstream. But you have to do something. And that's what helps me lay my head to pillow at night is that I know that I'm doing what I can to try to make some kind of difference here. And I think, you know, if you get enough people doing that, then you really can shift the paradigm of things. And, you know, it went from where it was to where it is pretty easily. So it seems like it could go from where it is to something better. you know, yeah, and with the same amount of effort.
You see the things that that do take off virally, whether it is on Amazon or just through the technology that we have word of mouth these days. There's no reason why something like this can't do the same thing and yield, because it's got substance behind it, and that's what we need. And I know that's what our culture's craving. So,
well, and it's just, you know, you look at today's culture and you just scratch your head, like, you know, we post a trailer of the movie and, you know, we get a few thousand views, and then you see a video of, I don't know, a deer chasing a cat around, and it's got 5 million views, and you're like,
I know.
How does this make, where did our priorities go wrong? Because obviously something has gone astray here.
It's true. But, and there are so many people crying out for it. And I think, you know, and it's that old Latin Roman phrase, panem et circensis. You know, we've got bread and circus. People are entertained and their bellies are full, so they don't want to deal with anything that's any deeper than that. And it's a sad state. But what you're doing is so important. So we thank you. We will visit your website. And just for everybody listening, I encourage just to follow you. You're on, I know you don't like social media, but you are on Facebook, right?
That's a necessary evil, isn't it? Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, we're on Twitter. We're on Facebook. And then the Patreon page. We didn't say what the Patreon page was.
Oh, yes. Yes, please.
So it's just patreon.com and then / JUHU, Justin Hunt, Juhu.
Okay, great. We'll link it up in the show notes as well.
Yeah, that'd be great. And yeah, it's like, you know, for a cup of Starbucks coffee, you're going to help support what we're doing. And we're going to give you so much fun stuff. You know, it's funny. I make all these heavy movies, but I'm actually a pretty funny guy.
You are.
I'm not a downer, I promise.
But, you know, you have to be able to celebrate and deal with the other stuff, too. And that's what our listeners are all about. I mean, our show is Good Things Radio. So I thank you for your time. God bless you in your work. And keep us posted.
Thanks, Brooke. I appreciate it. It's great to see you again.
It's Brooke's House.
Wow. Okay. Hard to jump out of that into this. So it's Brooke's House. But before we wrap up the show and really come off of a very intense interview, but one I think that was so important. So thank you again to Justin for joining us. I want to give you an invitation, because I think if nothing else, that conversation shows me how important it is that we stick together. I can't tell you how often on a daily basis, I feel like I don't even recognize the world that I'm living in anymore. And Justin and I, we talked about that briefly, touched on that. But I think that's what the enemy wants. He wants us to feel defeated. And the truth is, victory has already been won. And it's just a matter of us being reminded of that and sharpening our tools as we go into battle. And that's what I wanted to invite you about. So in the beginning of the show, I shared with you this ladies' night out. Well, it's happening. It's coming together. And so I know we have listeners all over the country, but if you are in Ohio, if you know anyone who's even in the surrounding states, I want to invite you to spend an evening with my friend Linda Isaiah, also music artist. She's incredible. Her name is Lori Triplett. She's going to be our worship leader. In fact, with approval, she has given me her blessing to play a portion of her album. So check it out.
I want to walk beside calm waters, but these waves keep crashing over and again. Doesn't anybody even see me? 'Cause the tide's about to pull.
And she's got a new album. It's a Kickstarter campaign. It's called Crooked Heart. This woman has been a friend of mine for years, kind of in circles, knowing her, rooting her on as she has done so many amazing things in ministry. So really excited that she's going to be with us. And I think, and I don't want to spill any beans, but it's going to be one of the last times she's in our area before she may relocate. For now, in this particular event, she's going to be joining us for a free evening. And the night is going to go fast, but it will be memorable, so we invite you to be a part of it. And it's all free, F-R-E-E. So that's the best part. Again, it's August 5th. So I will just link up the show notes. I've been promoting this like crazy because it happened really fast. So I wanted to get the word out, but I'll put that on the show notes. If you have any questions, message me. The other really big announcement is about Arise, our Arise retreat, which has been the apple of my eye. And it's really been a special thing to see the Facebook community continue to be active and prayer requests really serious, intense, painful, also happy prayer requests come in, praise reports. So this retreat is small by design. We've had many discussions about expanding it, changing the location. No place is perfect unless maybe you're on the beach, maybe you're in Maui, but we don't have the budget for that. And we want to keep the things we love most about this retreat. So it's kind of exciting because we had our first team meeting of the season, and there's a couple big announcements that I need to share with you. Okay, so my Arise sisters, if you've gone and you're coming again, if you're on the fence and have never gone, this is what I want you to know about the event. So it's been announced. The dates will be April 5th through the 8th, 2018. So get your tickets, get them soon, write it on the calendar, circle it with hearts and crosses, and plan to be with us at Loyola Retreat House. It will be the same venue. And we are actually going to make a small tweak in the amount of people. We are capping it this year at 50 people. We've tried to squeeze in about 60 in years past, so tickets will be even more limited. And there's so many women who have gone that want to come back that say, I'm bringing a friend, I'm bringing my mom. So I want you to know that for you, dear Good Things Radio friends, this and you are where this whole retreat sprang from, that the tickets, the pre-sale tickets, are going to launch on Friday, August 11th. Okay, that is Friday, August 11th. Big red circle, put it in your Google Calendar, whatever thing you use. I have a wall calendar, I have my Filofax planner, put it everywhere. And if you are able, this is the challenge, because I really did not want to put the tickets in August on sale, to be honest with you, because for us, it's a really expensive month for our family. Kids going back to school, we've got new shoes to buy, stuff for gym, all the supplies. But also the good part about it is once the ticket's purchased, that's it. You are done and you're in for the retreat. And for those of you flying, you've got many, many months then to save up. That could maybe be the Christmas present, would be the airfare. So that's the good news. And I don't know at the pre-sale when we launch if we'll sell out. So if you can't get them during pre-sale, it's okay. But if you can, you know you're coming no matter what. I want to encourage you to write that day down. August 11th is the feast day of Saint Philomena. She is the patroness of our retreat. So I hope you'll be there. And just as a reminder, the program includes Father Nathan Cromley back as retreat master. We will also be hosting Linda Isaiah. She is such a wonderful guest, as is Father Nathan, because they're not just speakers. He does spiritual direction. He is your confessor. He is also there to walk us through adoration. Linda is a counselor. She works with grief ministry. There's so many, and she's hilarious. In addition, Taylor Tripodi, the beautiful, young, gifted woman of God, is going to join us as well. Take a listen. This is Taylor.
Our praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips. Your praise will ever be on my lips, ever be on my lips.
And what you hear there is really the purity of her voice in real life. We're going again to a little field trip, Walsh University, on the eve of Divine Mercy. That was, for a lot of people in the feedback, the highlight, where we did an outdoor procession. If you're not Catholic and you want to come, I know for Linda, it was one of the most powerful moments of the weekend she shared with me. And it's really a wonderful experience, and you are invited. So that's the scoop. More details will be forthcoming as we build the website and get that up and running. But boy, there's a lot. We also still have room on the Holy Land trip, and we just started a Bible study. So I want to take the time to especially thank Lisa Daly in Colorado. So I don't know what God's going to do with that, but I love, as this community, whether it's single women or widows or moms that are homeschooling or empty nesters, that we are all sharing our gifts. And I just want to thank you for being a part of that and supporting Good Things Radio. If you have any comments, let me know what you think. Thank you to our Podbean patrons for your faithful support of the program. And I really believe in it. You know, as Justin was talking about the Patreon program, it's no joke and it's hard. I think we both share this awkwardness of not wanting to ask anybody for anything. But the reality is, you know that you are doing work that you cannot do alone. And it takes a team and a body of believers to come alongside. So God bless him. Thank you for supporting this program and allowing his message to be heard. And to become a good friend of the show, all you need to do is look at the show notes and click on Become a GTR Good Friend of the Program. Also, a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming, from Cumming Home Studio for his dynamic skills and quick work. He is the best of the best and wears many hats and eyes it all up and gets it together every weekend out there. Thank you, Mark. For any production needs you may have, check him out at cumminghomestudio.com. Ephesians 6:12, for our struggle is not in the flesh and blood, but against rulers, authentic powers of this dark world, and against the forces of evil in the heavenly realms. I thank our guest, Justin Hunt, for calling out one of the great dragons of our day, and that is this pornography scourge and how we can combat that enemy. Thank you for taking the time to listen and to be a part of the program. Until next time, friend, God bless you.